You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, yesterday the State Department of Natural Resources announced a reorganization. We'll talk to a WPR reporter about the details of the plan and what changes.
First, a look at the role of minority journalists in today's media landscape. In a few minutes, we'll hear from a researcher who asked the question, why aren't there more minority journalists?
First, a nonprofit multimedia news outlet geared toward Madison's communities of color is set to launch next month. The site will be called Madison 365. It'll cover topics like social issues, health, entertainment, and faith.
The site will join other news outlets aimed at minorities in Madison, like the Madison Times and Capital City Hughes, but creators say this platform will be a little different.
We're joined now by one of the site's co-creators, Henry Sanders Jr. Henry, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, give us the origin story. Where did this idea for Madison 365 come from?
Well, you know, I think it came from a long time, a lot of conversations, but David Dahmer, who used to work for Madison Times, you just mentioned Madison Times, was leaving there. And him and I met, and we were talking about all the challenges that needed to happen in the community. And I said, well, you know, Dave, the thing that if you really want to watch, I mean, if you really want to reach communities of color, online is the way to go. All the data shows us that people of color use their iPhones more. They look for education more online. So that was the origin of starting the conversation of, Dave, you're free now. You want to move on and do something else. How can we be more impactful in the community?
And what kind of things do you want to cover? I mean, issues of race, issues facing minority communities in Madison and Dane County, they've been in the news, sometimes in national news, in the last couple of years. What are you tackling here?
Well, that's a really good question, Rob. I think when people get caught off guard when we talk about we want to have an organization that's focused on people of color issues, but we want to focus on every issue that every mainstream media is focusing on, but we want to have it from a person of color perspective. We want to have journalists who are people of color who are writing about these stories and having it from a different point of view so we can not only educate the public what's going on, but also give a different voice to some of these conversations that are going on in our community today.
If those voices aren't out there in the media, mainstream or otherwise, what do you think we lose?
I think we lose a realistic, holistic perspective of what's really going on in the community. If we can't really solve problems, you can't really look for problems, you can't really look to help communities if you don't get the perspective from everyone who's involved. And in race, especially when it comes to race, there's not anyone who's not impacted by race in our community. So I'm really excited about this. And one of the things I did learn while we're starting this organization up, there was no journalist of color. I mean, not one. So we literally started from scratch and find these young journalists who have this energy and this passion to want to give their voice. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, let's follow up on that issue. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to a national writer about minority journalists, the lack of minority journalists across the country. Do you see this project in part as maybe training a next generation of journalists who go on beyond Madison 365?
Absolutely. So Dave Dahmer is someone who has been in the community for a long time. He's a journalist, but he's a community journalist, right? So there's journalists who write, but there's people who understand how the community works, and that's a different skill set. So we're hoping to help these young writers learn how to do community writing and do more investigative journalism, and then hopefully they can go on and move on and do bigger things, but hopefully we can give them a platform to craft their talent, to hone their talent, and to also at the same time educate other people in our community what's going on and open the door for other writers to say it's possible to happen.
We're talking to Henry Sanders Jr., co-founder of Madison 365, an online media source looking to serve and feature the writing of people of color in the Madison community. Now, Henry, have you seen things like this? Are you inspired by examples from elsewhere in the country, elsewhere in the state?
Well, you know, when we're doing our research, first of all, we're taking a nonprofit tack to this, so we're not going for a pro-profit business. We're going more from a nonprofit. So looking, there's not a lot of people of color magazines that are nonprofit. So, I mean, some of the ones you hear about are like Texas Tribune. Those are ones that, you know, we kind of look at their model, but there's not a lot. No, so there's not a lot of a model that we've actually looked for a people of color perspective, no.
And when we look at minority press, especially the African-American press, I mean, there's decades, actually centuries of history there. Are there things that inspire you from the past that you're going to try to capture, you know, if not the form of, the spirit of on the new side?
Community. Someone who grew up here in Madison, I used to know every person of color in Madison growing up, and now the community is just more dispersed. There's no sense of community. So if we can really have this site be a place of dialogue and be a place of bringing people together, having community events, to have a sense of community and a sense of ownership of the community, and that's what we're hoping that this site can help do.
And speaking of community, you and your colleague have done some community forums to hear people's input about what you're trying to do. What kind of things did you learn from that process?
You know, what I've learned is people are really excited for this product. I was caught off guard, the intensity and the happiness and the passion for people who are looking for something like this. And you know what people are really looking for? Looking for all the voices to be heard. I think right now our community feels sometimes there's only a few voices heard on certain issues, and we want everyone's voice to be heard. And you really hear from people that they want to keep people accountable. They want to make sure that we have something that brings people together, that we actually help build talent and give people opportunities and access to opportunities that they might not have had. So those are the things that really come, that's what you hear, those are the themes you hear over and over again.
Is this something that you hope is read by people not of color, by the white community in the area, to help start conversations maybe that aren't happening right now?
You know, Rob, if that doesn't happen, then we failed. I really believe if this is not a site that everyone comes to, that the whole community is not involved in and engaged in, we've failed. Because I believe it's an opportunity for everyone to look and learn about what's going on in colors, communities of color. And I think if it's a place that we can educate people of color ourselves, but we also can educate the mainstream public. And it's a place that we can have real dialogue, right? Well, one thing we always say, that our conversations are not going to be comfortable all the time, but they'll be honest and they'll be true. And out of that, hopefully we can actually solve some problems.
Well, take us behind the scenes. Most of us have never started a multimedia online news platform. Where are you now? What problems are you tackling to make this work?
Well, from a business perspective, Rob, we're just trying to get off the ground. We're trying to make sure that we have our writers in place. We're launching a Kickstarter campaign next week. We're also going to be launching the site next week. So right now, it's just the Balta notes, just trying to make sure we're getting the site up and running, getting the writers ready, you know, content editing. So that's the basic things right now we're doing.
Do you have a timeline in mind?
Yeah, well, again, we plan on doing our Kickstarter this week, and then we're planning on launching next week.
Oh, launching next week. Okay, so the way you described it, that sounded like a long process still to go. You're close to opening day.
Well, you know, when you're in this every day, it seems like a long process. But yes, we're ready to go. Right now, we're just trying to make sure our writers have a lot of content and the site's up and ready. So we're just going to start our Kickstarter and then hopefully raise some money off that. And then we'll launch next week.
So you've got these young journalists, people of color. You say they've got some content almost in the can now. A couple of headlines you're looking forward to putting up there next week.
Oh, that's a good question. So I know we're doing some stuff on I know we're doing some stuff on the Tony Robinson family and having a different perspective of from the Robinson side, talking about the people, kind of humanizing Tony, letting them know people know about who he was, what his friends are, what his friends thought about him in a situation. So we'll do some things about that. We'll do some faith stuff where we have a person who's asked the pastor. His faith is really big in colors of communities of color. There's a mile in her scarf where they're talking about women issues. So we have lots of different things coming out. It's a lot.
Henry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
That was Henry Sanders Jr., co-creator of Madison 365.
Coming up, we'll talk to our guest about minority journalism on a national level and get the answer to the question, why aren't there more minority journalists?
And we'd like to hear from you. Do you follow a minority-focused news source? Tell us about it. Do you wish there were more outlets like this or think there's a greater need for them? And why do you think minority members of minorities are underrepresented in the U.S. media? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We're continuing our discussion on minority journalism, and you can join in. Do you get your news from a minority-focused publication? Do you wish there were more outlets like that, like the one we just heard about in Madison coming up? Do you think there need to be more minority reporters, journalists out there? Call now at 800-642-1234.
Our next guest set out to tackle the question, why aren't there more minority journalists? According to a piece he wrote for the Columbia Journalism Review, minority members were underrepresented in the media in research done decades ago, and the numbers haven't gone up a whole lot in the years since.
We're joined now by Alex Williams, doctoral student in the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Pennsylvania. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
So can you start by giving us a general snapshot of the state of minorities in journalism today?
Absolutely. So unfortunately, we know from industry surveys that newsrooms are still not very diverse. For example, last year, ethnic minorities accounted for 37% of the population in the United States, but only 13% of journalists at newspapers or in radio were minorities.
Now, some people might hear that and think, okay, I don't care who writes the story as long as they get it right. Why would a less minority representation, underrepresentation in the media be a bad thing?
So it's actually a really important issue because we know that this type of unequal staffing can lead to unequal coverage, which is especially important given the current political climate. And we also know that newsrooms actually have an economic incentive to have diverse newsrooms given the purchasing power of minorities, the opportunity to attract a larger, more diverse audience. For example, research from the Pew Research Center actually shows that minorities are more interested in local news and that they are more likely to share news stories on social media. Yet this lack of newsroom diversity is an issue that's persisted for decades.
So when we go to the newsrooms, to the editors, the people doing the hiring, what kind of things do they say to explain that gap?
So it's often been explained that there's kind of a pipeline issue. Editors have oftentimes complained that they would hire qualified candidates, but not enough qualified candidates are trying to enter journalism. So not enough minorities are going to journalism school and becoming qualified candidates.
And you checked out the numbers. Does that add up?
No, it doesn't. I actually looked at surveys of hundreds of schools from the University of Georgia, and the surveys track how many minorities are actually graduating from journalism and communication programs, and it's actually about 21% of graduates from these programs in the past 10 years have been minorities. So it's not a staggering number, but it's still significantly higher than the 13% of journalists that we see working in the newsrooms at newspapers and in radio.
So doing the math, it sounds like something is making it harder for those minority journalism school graduates to get jobs than their white peers.
Absolutely. You can actually break it down looking at what these students specialized in. So if you compare minority students that specialize in print journalism or broadcasting and compare them to their white counterparts, only 49% of minority graduates found a job within 6 to 12 months after graduating, compared to 66% of white graduates. So put another way, white graduates were 33% more likely to get a job than minority graduates.
You point toward maybe one economic explanation. One great way to get attention from a media employer is to do an unpaid internship. And people have pointed that to as an obstacle for minority members who are often maybe disproportionately less wealthy than their white peers. And other people said, hey, working class people, too, whatever race, may have a harder time because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So when companies rely on unpaid internships to find new candidates, they're disproportionately eliminating minority candidates or working class candidates because they're less likely to apply for unpaid internships.
We're talking to Alex Williams, journalism researcher, looking at minority underrepresentation in journalism. I want to get to a couple of our callers now. I want to take them back to back. I think Evan is with us first in Oak Creek. Evan, hi.
Hey there.
What do you think?
I think that while there is a place for minority journalists, I don't think that the demand is nearly as high as you're guessing represented it. And I also don't know why that the existing journalist perspectives don't apply or are not as accepted to minorities as those of the opinions coming from minorities themselves. If I have a journalist on TV or a writer that's a minority, I don't necessarily find that their writing is not applicable to me just because I'm not a minority. So I'm really confused as to why they feel that the product put out there by non-minority journalists is not applicable.
I gotcha, Evan. Now I want to go to Anna in Evansville. Anna, hi.
Hi.
Oh, what do you think?
Well, I'd like to say that I think it's very important that we have more minority news sources available. I come from a small town, and there aren't many news sources here other than, more mainstream ones. And I think it really comes down to when you are a person of color or a minority and all your news sources are, the same, they're usually white men, and there's not a problem with that, but representation is very important. Because when you're only hearing a perspective from a person who has privilege, you might not be able to identify with that as much. And it's just important to be inclusive of all people.
All right, Anna, thanks a lot. I want to bring Alex Williams back in. Now, two different perspectives there. Alex, very, very different perspectives within the profession itself. How is that argument, that back and forth, playing out?
So I think there is that natural tension. I think that most people understand that we're not saying that white journalists cannot cover diverse communities. I think the larger issue is that we know that in newsrooms you have to decide which covers the story, because which stories to cover, because you can't cover every story. And within those stories you have to decide what are the most pertinent facts, because you can't report every fact. And because of those conscious decisions, the more diverse the staff is, the better the product is, because you get more perspectives, you get a wider selection of news stories, and you get different perspectives. And I think that ultimately benefits both diverse communities because they're better represented, but I also think it helps people that aren't a part of those communities better understand the issues from a different perspective.
And Alex, as we wrap up, is this something that newsrooms, that employers are tackling and trying to change?
Absolutely. So the NPR Visuals team is actually applying, accepting applications for internships this year, and they solicited applications, and they noticed a manager commented that he was disregarding a lot of applications because the cover letters were poorly written, because they were focusing on why the candidate loved NPR so much, and he was saying that, I don't want to read that. And somebody else spoke up and said, well, actually, I think that it's understandable that people are making that mistake. The only reason why people don't make that mistake is because they've been coached, because they have backgrounds of privilege. So they're actually making the process more transparent. They're asking people to reapply, and this time they're detailing what they're looking for in the cover letters and the types of interview questions that they are going to ask. And the goal by taking those steps is to kind of remove that layer of privilege to minimize the importance of coaching.
Alex, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
That was journalism researcher Alex Williams. He's been talking about his research on minority journalists being underrepresented in the media.